Blog Talk Radio.
The cost left my heart broken, so I had it closed for repair. Wandering in my desert, your oasis refuses. You're like a long cool drink of water. I'm thirsty, that's clear when I taste you. I know you, I know you, I do. So can you feel it? Tell me I need to know.
Hey everybody, it's Mark Rawson. I want to welcome you to another great show of the Men's Spiritual Hour. As you know, we've been running for almost a year now, and we're on about once a month. And to find out more about this show and other shows, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And always during the show, we have lots of information on the website about our guests that we have on. If you missed the link to get to the person's website, you can get it directly off of our website. And if there's any freebies or videos or downloads for free music or anything like that, you'll find it on our website. So as always, we're on about once a month. And me and Mike, let's go ahead and bring Mike in. Hey, Mike, you out there?
Yes, I am, Mark.
Hey, it's great to have you on. Mike, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Happy to be here tonight.
Yeah, as you know, I'm down in, I just make it simple for everybody and just tell you I'm in Orlando, Florida, and it is hot here. So I was enjoying it when I was up in Pennsylvania. It was really cold to come down here where it was warm, but it's getting to that certain point where it's like I'm almost ready to head back up north to the cooler temperatures. So, you know, what I was talking about, Mike, is, you know, you and I created this show about a year ago. And it's just amazing all the great people we've had on and, you know, how we created this show so that we could give men kind of like a, you know, a informational place, kind of meeting place, sacred space for men to talk with other men about their journeys, some of the experiences they've had in life and stuff like that. So as always, I'm really, really to have you on. And I don't know, I know a lot of people tune into the show know that I'm always plugging Mike and his stuff because he just does the most amazing music. Why don't you give out your website, Mike?
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mark. My website where I have all of my relaxing and meditation music is at www.mikesnyderc.com. That's MikeSnyderCC.com.
And as always, like I mentioned earlier, if you guys forget that link or you want to refer some people to him or his music or anything like that, he's actually doing remote sessions now, which I had a chance to experience about a month ago. It just blew my socks off. Just absolutely amazing with the custom music that he creates for you in the session with you. And he also sends that to you as an MP3 so you can put it on your favorite device and listen to it over and over again. So make sure to go and check out his website. And if you forgot what the link was or you want to look him up later, he's got a couple links up on our website under a couple different shows. So the St. Germain one with our friend Brigida and of course, the men's show. So as always, it's great to have you on, Mike. And with that, I don't want to waste any time because we have so many questions for our guests tonight. We don't want to run out of time. So I'm going to go ahead and hand this over to you.
Okay, thank you. Tonight we have our guest, and his name is Varashira Douglas Sutton, and that's his official title, which he'll explain to us a little bit later. And Douglas is an ordained teacher of the Mystery School, charged with transmitting the ancient teaching lineages in the West. The lineage is over 2,500 years old and includes The Accolade and Wisdom of the Enlightened Buddhist, Taoist, and Confucian Masters. And Douglas returned to the U.S. over a year ago after spending 8 years in China. He also is the vice abbot of a temple in L.A., which he'll explain more to about it. And he has a lot of other information here to share with us. So, Douglas, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. Hi. Well, it's great to be on the show tonight.
Great to be here with you.
Hey, Doug, it's always great to have you on.
Thanks, Mark. It's been a pleasure so far. May it always be.
So I think, Mike, one of the things that Douglas is actually going to start us off with is kind of, as we would call him, spirituality, opening up sacred space and just doing a couple different things to, you know, do some blessings and stuff like that. But before I kind of can this into something that probably isn't, Douglas, why don't you go ahead and tell us what we're going to do tonight to start this off.
All right. Mark had suggested I do something to kind of help create a sacred space or open the show. And I thought, well, what I principally do these days is teach meditation and do healing, spiritual healing for people. And if we start with a short meditation, people can experience what we'll then talk about later. And, you know, as they say, a picture is worth a thousand words, and experiencing powerful esoteric meditations is worth at least a thousand words. You know, you can talk about it, it's one thing, to experience it yourself is another. So what I'd like to do is guide you through a short meditation. Most of our practices involve the three mysteries, body, mind, and speech, mantra, mudra, and visualization. Most of the mantras are ancient Sanskrit from India. And then there's a mudra, or hand or body position, that helps move or direct energy in certain ways, and visualizations, which help guide you into a certain state of awareness or being. And ultimately, when one is able to join one's consciousness with the awakened masters, then one, if you truly do it, then you become an awakened master. So this is a very simple, short meditation, but people have profound experiences with it, especially if they do it regularly. So what I want you to do is first turn one palm face up on your lap, one palm face down. That's the mudra, or hand position. And if you have glasses, take them off. Be comfortable. I'm going to teach you a short Sanskrit mantra, and then I'll ask you during the meditation to chant it continuously in silence. So the mantra is Ong Ah She Hung. The Ong and the Hung have a little nasal sound. It's not Om with an O-M. It's more like an O-N-G. I'll repeat it and go ahead and chant it along with me. You can do it out loud until we start the visualization if you like, or just chant it in silence. Ong Ah She Hung. 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 Continue chanting the mantra in silence. Please visualize. You are sitting on a transparent lotus flower. Slowly, the lotus emits transparent light. The light gets brighter and brighter. gradually the light from the transparent lotus makes your body also turn transparent. Turn transparent. As your body becomes more and more transparent, gradually your body also slowly emits transparent light. The light becomes brighter. And brighter. Now you sense that the light from your body and the light from the transparent lotus gradually dissolve together, becoming one body. Now you feel that the light becomes even brighter. Becomes even brighter. As your body continues to emit light, gradually the body becomes non-existent. Non-existent. Exists no more. Only a very bright light still exists. Now you feel you seem to enter a very bright world. You may open your eyes, relax your body, and stop chanting. And I'm curious, what did you experience? Some of you may have experienced energy in your body. Some people may have seen light, or some may have experienced both.
It felt like I merged into a galaxy of light.
Very good. Well, it's very... Growing up, I went to a Protestant church, and when I was about 16, I couldn't say that I'd ever really felt anything strong, and I was wishing to experience whether it is Holy Spirit or Jesus or whatever, and asked for it, and I I can't say that I did experience it at that time. Later, but not at that time. And it took me a long time to find teachers who had real lineage and transmission and could help people quickly move along in their spiritual path towards becoming a master, towards awakening. So this is a very simple, short meditation, but it can give people a taste of what is available. And there are many meditations to help people along the path to awakening in this lifetime.
Hey, Mike, how was it for you?
It felt very, I guess it felt kind of like, for me, like a, more like a golden light energy going through me, but it wasn't like over-empowering. It was very, I guess if you would say, like the weight of it was light in weight, but it was just like a sharp, very relaxing energy that just kind of flowed through me as we did it. And I just noticed myself going, you know, a little bit deeper into it as we went through it. But I did kind of notice it felt like it was starting to open up my third eye, kind of like that tingling feeling you get when you know you've kind of advanced into like the next stage of the meditation. So it was good.
What is your website, Douglas?
www.darirulaitemple.org, and it's darirulaitemple.org.
And of course, temple, for everybody,
dash or hyphen, yeah.
I was going to say, and of course, that's up on the Spiritual Connections Radio website for anybody who wants to just click on it. So up on your website, there's a place that you can actually purchase and download more meditations?
We have meditations on CD. They're empowered. There's a blessing. There's an empowerment on them, an energetic empowerment that helps you accomplish on the path to help it make it more effective. So we don't, unfortunately, we're not able to send them digitally because they don't have the empowerment that comes on the actual CD, at least not at this time. So we have empowered CDs. We teach meditation. We do free spiritual healing at our temple in LA, and then there's other centers. There's one in Fort Collins. There's people up in the San Francisco Bay Area. There's people in Florida. And I'll be in Boston in July and possibly in Hawaii at the end of July. So there's people who travel and teach in different places around the country and also in Europe, South America, so on.
So, you know, as an example, where is the one in Florida? And if I go to your website, is there a listing of the different locations in the United States?
There's a listing of some locations. There's a couple of people who... There's a teacher who just headed in the last few months back east. He's mostly traveled around the U.S., but he's looking to start a temple somewhere, possibly in Florida. And I don't think he's set on a location yet. So if you send us an email, then we can give you an email to connect with him. And I think he'll be teaching at various places all on the East Coast. And as I said, I'm looking to be in New England in July if anyone's interested to find out more, and specifically Boston.
So that's actually really cool. So, you know, during the time that we were doing that initial process when we started the show, you said that one of the key things that we're looking for is I guess, being awakened?
Yes.
So can you talk to us a little bit about what that process is as far as awakening?
As I have experienced it, well, there are thousands of books and newspaper articles, and anyone who goes into a spiritually oriented bookstore or section of books we'll see all kinds of people talking about enlightenment, awakening, having the, you know, your wishes fulfilled, living the life you'd like, being successful, laws of attraction, laws of manifesting, et cetera, et cetera. Over time, I met a number of different teachers and tried a few things, and then eventually, as I had studied energetic healing over a period of time, wanted to find a really good teacher, and then people pointed me to an enlightened Buddhist master. And what I discovered over time is that he knew what I was thinking. He knew it was in my heart. He could see my whole past, even my future. And he said at one point, when you see what's in someone's heart, you know what they're thinking, and you can see the past and future, then you really know how to help them. Now, I've studied with him about 14 years, and the Buddhist esoteric schools, the lineages, ours is from China, there's also Tibetan lineages, have passed down the results of people's experiments and findings over thousands of years. So this lineage goes back over 2,500 years, and this process goes back much longer. But people have been awakening and then guiding others along the path for thousands of years. And one of the things that I've found that I think is key is that if you have an enlightened teacher, they know what enlightenment is, and they know how to guide you along the path instead of on a detour or a scenic route, etc. So in our school, there's meditations that will open up your chi channels, increase your energy and vitality and health. And then there's a meditation that guides you into the first state of Zen and quiets the resisting mind. For myself, it took a while before I finally went into the state of no thought. And it seemed like a lot of people...
What did you call that?
A state of no thought, meaning I could just stop my thoughts and rest without thought.
I thought you said some spiritual word, like it went to a state of no thought or something like that. I'm like, oh, what does that translate to?
Yeah, it did so fast. No thought. As in, you know, every night we rest our bodies.
No thought.
Yes. So there's different meditations to guide people along different steps towards awakening. And the key thing is not belief, although belief is important, but experiencing it. And then there are practices that can help take people step by step. Mm-hmm. And certainly belief is part of it. Go ahead.
And I think you and I had spoken about this before, about how we were saying that it really doesn't matter what your background is. You know, like I'm Christian. And you said, you know, Mark, fly out here and let's do some work over the weekend. We got all these great programs and everything. So I think the key idea is that you can be open to kind of come in and just really get some spiritual teachings.
I grew up going to a Christian church, and it wasn't the first one of the first times that I really felt spirit in a church was I had gone with my teacher to Inner Mongolia, where he had been. There was a crowning ceremony for him as a Dharma king, and we had some free time, and they took us to a Catholic church in Inner Mongolia. And the spiritual energy in that church was really incredible. And I was like, whoa. And over time, I started to appreciate that all traditions or the major traditions have real spiritual practice and lineage and tools to help people along the path. In our school, the practices that we teach are available to people no matter what faith they have been a part of, and they can help you along your spiritual path. And the key thing is not just taking always people's word for it, but doing practices that will help you experience spiritual truths for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So we have those, and I invite people you know, of varying faiths who are open enough to experiment a little, to try out practices that we have or other, you know, other schools have.
Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to fly out there and, you know, come out for the weekend and stuff like that, what do most people normally come in and do?
Well, we have a mix of practices that are, that I said that there's one that opens the chi channels and it gives one vitality and energy. Then there's a Zen practice that takes people to the first state of quiet mind and a certain level of realization. Those are some of our foundation meditations, and so we teach those. Also, there's this practice we call Medicine Buddha. It's a very powerful self-healing practice that also clears karma, and there's a connection for people who take that class, a connection to all the masters of this lineage, and then thereafter they will have the blessing, empowerment, and guidance of these masters as they practice. And not only our practices, but as they do other spiritual practices.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I want to go in and start talking about you and your path, but before I do that, Mike, do you have any questions?
No, I was actually interested in exactly what you said about how he came into his path.
Yeah. So, you know, take us back to the beginning, Douglas. I mean, tell us how you got started and what your path looked like and how you eventually ended up to where you are now.
Okay, there were a lot of steps, so I'll see if I can go through them a little quickly. So I grew up in a Christian church. My parents sent us there, I found out later, because they wanted us to have values, and that worked. I didn't really experience the kind of the energy, the connection beyond just hearing people speak. I didn't experience Holy Spirit or whatever people call it personally. And so by the time I was 16, I asked for it. I still didn't experience it. And I asked in my heart for it. So by the time I was in college, I'd also gone through Boy Scouts and did environmental activism and community work, so I was caring about the environment and others and animals. And by the time I started college, I was an agnostic. I didn't experience or necessarily believe in what people were telling me, and I didn't see it played out in the world, you know, that there was a guiding hand or that kind of thing. And I was very curious, so I started studying philosophy and sociology, later sociology. Actually, first, I was interested to make a difference in the world. So I thought, well, political science. And then I started taking classes there, it seemed like it was just surface and didn't get to the heart of deeper issues that we're all facing. So then I switched to philosophy. And as I started studying philosophy, it seemed to me that it was still a lot of talk and not much action. And then I started to study sociology and to get deeper understandings of what's the same about people cross-culturally and what are the underlying aspirations and principles that guide both societies and individual action. I also studied art so that I could have a voice for my creativity and to contribute to society. I didn't have a real active spiritual life, and as I said, I hadn't really felt like I experienced anything, but I was curious and I wanted to. And one of the first significant experiences I had was when I went to massage school, because it was something I was interested to do. And one of our teachers said to our class, "Did you realize that you can use your mind to help people?" And I was like, "Really? I didn't know about that." And one of my classmates who I've been talking with said, "Oh, that's my job." And she started teaching me how to sense people's energy fields and started teaching me a little bit about energetic or spiritual healing. later I met someone that she introduced me to who could do a third eye activation, and all of us that went to see this guy saw light inside our heads and flashes of light and color, and some people could feel this special energy. That combination was the first beginning of kind of propelling me along exploring Eastern or non-traditional spiritual practices and techniques.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, I studied with this teacher, Kathleen Wolber, at Matrix Light Institute, and then this guy, Tilak, and then I remember one time Kathleen brought someone out from the Monroe Institute, and they help people go on, have out-of-body experiences. And everybody else in the group had these fantastic experiences and then shared the details of their journey. And it seemed like I hadn't gone anywhere or done anything. And I remember saying to the group, well, I guess I need some more time in the hangar. And so that was an early experiment that didn't seem to go anywhere at the time. And I also, someone sent me to this group, had something to do with White Star. I'm still not sure exactly what it is. But I tried their meditation, and I didn't really seem to get any results. So after a number of sessions, I said, well, all right, well, I guess this isn't for me either. And over time, I started studying yoga, first with Mandu Joyce, who's a well-known Ashtanga yoga teacher, and then later with Yogi Bhajan, famous Kundalini teacher. And eventually I read Autobiography of a Yogi, which someone recommended to me, and it was the first time that I read about a lot of like Eastern masters and mysticism, and I wouldn't have believed what was in the book previously, but somehow I believed that writer and what was in the book. And I remember thinking, wow, if that's true, I would like to have an enlightened master. I would like to become a yogi as well. And I just kept doing yoga and dabbling in a few things here and there. Like I met a Native American healer that I studied with, a sound healer that I studied a little bit with, Satnam Rasayan, which is a healing practice from the Sikhs. I met people who had started the Intenders group, if you ever heard of that. And I still really didn't seem to have much level in terms of doing spiritual healing when I was trying to help people. And I didn't seem to be getting very far off the ground in my spiritual practice, although I was interested. Oh, and I had studied with a Gurdjieff group that had awareness exercises.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I had also studied with Tony Robbins, who I worked for a short bit. And I liked aspects of the different practices or different people I'd study with, and I found Tony Robbins' stuff very interesting, but I still didn't find that I had a great degree of success and with the various things that I'd tried. And finally, I decided I wanted to find a really good teacher, and asked everyone I knew and kept asking, and finally was pointed to this enlightened Chinese Buddhist master. And I saw him, I went to see him, and not being very sensitive, I went to the temple and saw people chanting. I didn't really experience much, unlike some of my friends who had major experiences just the first time they went to see him. But I
now,
went
where
back.
Was that?
That was in Alhambra. That was L.A. area.
Okay.
So that was 2000. And I heard that he was going to teach a spiritual healing techniques class, a Buddhist healing techniques class. And so I went to that, and he gave us an empowerment, and immediately all of us in the room could feel that everyone was shining out a spiritual healing light from our hands. So everyone could experience that. When he blessed something and held it up, this is my teacher, Master Yu, or Duchan Dreiren, the 49th lineage holder of the Chinese esoteric school. So he blessed something and then some water and held it up and then just kind of waved it at us, towards us, and I could feel incredible energy in my hands. And for someone who hadn't been very sensitive, suddenly things were opening up and I could feel a lot. And then I could also transmit this healing light. So it was an amazing first class that I had with him. Then I went to the temple and watched him do healings for people and saw a number of miraculous healings and powerful healings. And I was like, wow, there's something really going on here. And he started teaching me how to do healing for people. And he would tell me how to, all right, we're going to sweep the light through people. And I would go through the motions of sweeping the light through people. And I would be kind of whistling along in my mind because I didn't feel anything and I didn't see anything. But after a little while, people told me that I was doing this for, that they felt the energy coming through them or they saw light and color. And I was like, oh, cool, it's working. And that was about 14 years ago. And over time, I started becoming more sensitive, and I could feel the energy moving and start to experience more. And fast forward, I came back less than 2 years ago from China, and I've been traveling a little bit on the West Coast and teaching and doing healing for people at our temple on a daily basis.
Wow. Go ahead, Mike. What questions do you have?
So, Douglas, so what did you find, did you feel that once you, you said it happened for you back around 2000, did you feel like you finally hit a turning point in your life when you saw that you finally, it's like something, did something kind of like actually light up for you then when you found the association you had with the, you know, the temples where you first started to learn? Like, would you say that was like a turning point for you where you really felt like you got it, like it's what you were looking for?
Well, when I took this first class, and immediately I could start feeling things that I'd never felt before, and immediately I could start shining out this spiritual light energy that other people could feel, I could tell that I'd had received a big blessing and empowerment, and that something had shifted. So that was major. And then I started going to the temple, and there were a whole group of people who had, some of which had known him for a few months by that time, who were going to become initiates, disciples of the master. And as I was hanging around and coming around and watching what was going on, I could see that there was a lot going on, and I still wasn't sure about becoming an initiated disciple, because I thought, well, it's a lot of commitment, and so I was thinking it over in my mind, and I had other things going, so I went and I talked with the master through an interpreter, and I said to him, I see that you can really help people. And in the workshop that I took, he said, I am here to teach what I know, and if you like, I will teach it all to you. So I was like, wow, he can obviously do amazing and miraculous things, and he says he's here to teach what he knows, so I was like, wow, I could really help people with this. And yet at the same time, I had a busy life, and I was making art and working and doing yoga and a bunch of other stuff, and it seemed like commitment, and like there was going to be quite a bit too, and I was like, well, I don't know. Am I ready for this? So I asked through the interpreter basically that question, and I said, it seems like a big commitment and a good thing, but what do you think, Master Yu? And he smiled, and he just said, do what you think. So I decided that, well, I had kind of asked for this, meaning to meet a real powerful teacher, an enlightened master. I had asked for it when I read Yogananda's autobiography. So I thought to myself, well, this probably isn't like an opportunity that comes every month or so. Probably, you know, it's not an easy opportunity to come by. So I decided to step forward and become an initiate, and I started studying more. I still, for a number of months, wasn't doing a lot of practice, but within about 6 or 7 months, things started to shift, and people who I did healings for were definitely feeling it. And one person had a really out-of-the-box, amazing experience, and like I started chanting a mantra for a particular deity, and without telling that person, and then during the healing, that person saw that deity dancing inside of them, and I was like, whoa. And I thought to myself, I'm not really practicing that much. I thought, what would happen if I really started practicing? So over a course of months, I finally kind of started to commit more, and then things started happening.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, and I like the saying here that we have listed under your information on the website about how the esoteric school teaches the more you want to change the world, the more you need to be able to change yourself. And, you know, that's just such a great, profound statement because, you know, there's so many of us, and especially people that tune into this show that are into the spiritual works of all types. It's you know, there's some aspects of religion that might teach you that you give all the glory to heaven and God and everything, which is fine for their religion, but sometimes they leave out the part of that we really need to put ourselves first and care for ourselves first. And, you know, if we don't put ourselves first and work on changing ourselves first, in some cases, you know, we really can't be as useful to other people, you know. And so your story is wonderful that you made that choice in your life that you said, hey, I really want to step up and I want to help people. And then you finally took on that commitment, which was not just to further yourself, but also as an end result to help other people, you know. So just hearing your story is very inspiring from a transformational standpoint, because there's just so many of us that a lot of us that are kind of stuck in that 9-to-5 job world, and every once in a while you might find a few people like that. They say, you know what, this isn't me, and I want to make a change. I'm halfway through my life, or you know, wherever point you're at in your life. And there's so many of us that desire to do bigger and greater things to help change the world. But again, that saying about needing to be able to change yourself, boy, that's just so important, so critical for people to understand, I think.
Well said. What I discovered is that somewhere along the way, consistency and actually just sitting down and getting to the practice on a daily basis is one of the biggest keys. The meditation we did at the beginning, if someone practices that for 100 days and goes into that state and for 10 minutes a day, things will start changing, and people experience changes start coming from the inside out. There's a lot of people that I meet and teach who have an amazing experience, and I find that those who are able to stick with a practice, there's a number to choose from, but able to stick with one of the practices for a couple of weeks, a month, start to have a shift and start to have things really begin to open up. And I think many people, and as I did in the past, had trouble to focus on something and stick with the practice for a period of time long enough to start getting results. And then there's choosing practices that can lead you quickly along the path, or, you know, compared to others that might be a slower journey.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to, as you said, if you want to change the world, you have to be able to change yourself. One of the basic Buddhist tenets is that we all have the same root nature, as all of the greatest masters that have ever lived. So that is at really who we are. It's a matter of awakening or realization, awakening from the dream of who we think we are and who we've been programmed to be, and the layers of karma and indoctrination and habits and everything else that's keeping us, that's in between us and being the master, being at the highest level of awareness and consciousness. So there are specific practices to help people along the path in our lineage, and my experience also is that having an enlightened master is huge. And I, after I started studying with my teacher, I sent an email one time to one of my old friends, and I said, "Find an enlightened teacher, anyone." But it was just—it seemed to me that it was a huge difference between studying with all the teachers that I'd studied with previously. So that I would emphasize.
Hey Douglas.
Yeah.
What is one of the things that you, or one of the biggest things you learned from your time with Tony Robbins?
That there are specific approaches, techniques, technologies that can help people change and become the kind of person they would like to be, have the kind of life that they would like to have. Mm-hmm. And if you do the work, you get the results. Now, let me add something. I didn't feel that doing his work was hugely effective for me. And it wasn't a problem with his teaching or the tools. It was that if you think of an iceberg, and there's the part that you see, which is a little bit, and then there's what's below the water. And for some people, that's a big chunk. I would say that I seem to have some karmic obstacles or habits or conditioning that weren't immediately, that I couldn't immediately clear or overcome using those techniques, or that I wasn't ready or able to commit to using those techniques in a way that actually worked for me. So when I did started doing the Buddhist practice, there were meditations specifically to clear karma. And working with my teacher, he could see things that would help me get past obstacles that I had, that helped me move along more quickly than I had previously.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, for the time that you were in China for how many years was it, 9 years?
About 8 years.
Mm-hmm. What do you think was one of the biggest aha moments you had when you were there?
Biggest aha moments. Well, what comes to mind is that I met, I would say many, at least probably 20 enlightened masters, enlightened Buddhist masters. And over time, I started realizing that Buddhism is still alive and well in China, and they've been able to help people along the path of awakening for thousands of years, and it's still working. So that was kind of a surprise. I didn't know that it was still such a rich living tradition. I went to places where there were temples that had been destroyed in the Cultural Revolution and rebuilt, and they were largely museums. And there wasn't much practice, you know, real practice, or the people who were there couldn't necessarily help people at the level that I've seen people in my lineage help people. But there are still the living traditions, and the wisdom masters are still very present in China. That was a big aha.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, the other thing I wanted to to ask you was also a little bit about how do you feel when you do the healing work on people, when you do a lot of the healing sessions for people and you do teach a lot of the classes, do you feel like pretty exhausted by the time you're done, or do you feel pretty energized? What kind of energy output would you say you're dealing with so that you can make sure that, you know, when you're done, you can stay grounded? You know, is there like a certain kind of food that you eat that helps with that? You know, because, you know, any of us that do healing, we can get pretty exhausted by the time we're done. But there is all a definitely good way to keep balance, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just curious with some of the teachings that you employ and the healings you employ, like how you balance that and how you feel, you know, after doing all this work.
Excellent and practical, important question. We have karma clearing practices that can help us very quickly clear, things that I might pick up, some energy clear, doing healing for people. So when I do healing for people and then sit down and practice, it just boosts my practice. If I'm doing, we also do chanting for people, and we can help people clear major karmic obstacles when we work in a team. After we do that, I definitely, it's important every day to be doing practice that clears energy, clears the, and as long as I'm doing that, I'm fine. So I've seen people who like I taught someone who was immediately able to go out and start helping people, and after they were helping people for a while, they were getting great results, but they stopped practicing to keep themselves clear and energized, and then they got sick. And I was gently trying to tell them, you need to practice for yourself. So I don't really have a problem with it, and I get energized, and often when I do healing, I'm energized and lifted up, and there's a combination of what comes through me and then a little bit that I'm putting out myself. So very important to do karmic clearing exercises on daily basis, and then it's not a problem. And by doing that service work to help others unconditionally, you know, from the bottom of your heart, that helps generate merit to help people move along their spiritual attainment path.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's really great information. When I do healings on people myself, I do it through music. I channel music, and you know, it's sometimes if you're set up in an expo or something, and you're pressed for time, then after work you're regular on the job the next day and stuff like that. You know, I notice. I have a lot of friends, and Mark included, that are healers and everything, and sometimes when our lives are busy, it's like we don't get to have that downtime for ourselves, or sometimes after a real busy 2-3 day expo, it's nice to take a day off from your regular job and recoup, you know what I mean? So it sounds like those exercises you're talking about, the clearing exercises, are definitely a great thing for people to learn when they're doing this kind of work.
Yes, it makes a huge difference. And I'm always, or as much as possible, chanting mantras. And those help clear the karma as you go and generate a field of vibration that positively impacts everyone around you.
Okay.
So it's best if I'm 24/7 in that vibration, in that space. And that's the difference between a master and the people who are working to become masters. We all have love and compassion and the wish to help others, and the real masters are those who have reached that state where they're there 24/7.
Boy, I'd love to learn those mantras, just even for one basic reason, for when I'm in rush hour traffic going home, because even that's so stressful. You know,
we have mantra CDs with our foundation set of mantras, about 33 mantras. There's a CD, and then there's also a flash software disk that people can use for PCs that breaks down the mantras and helps you learn them more easily. So there's mantras to use for all kinds of different things, from blessing your food to healing people to opening up your wisdom, improving your memory, healing specific illnesses or conditions, distance healing, helping people with their luck, all kinds of human problems and needs. So if anyone's interested, they can also call and the temple, the number's on the website, or send me an email at sayhellotodouglas@yahoo.com, and I'll respond.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was trying to actually access the store here on the website, but I'm not having any luck. Maybe
the store is down. And
oh, okay.
That's on my agenda. One of my things is to put up a store. So we're
Here's
with the store.
Yeah. But yeah, that would be great to have access. Because, you know, the one thing that I think would be really amazing is for people like myself that might not be able to heavily study as much with it, just to have some basic tools to start out with, like you said, like using some of the mantras, that would definitely be wonderful.
And I would be happy if people want to email me or call to give you suggestions along those lines. And like you said, even if you start with the simple meditation that we did at the beginning of the show, and do that every day. And normally we recommend if people can keep up one practice 100 days or more, it can instill and become part of you, and then you move on to another practice, although you can do more than one at once, of course, if you have the time. So, feel free to contact me and ask more questions about that. There's
do you have
mantras
anything
you
on
can
YouTube?
Chant. There is. Look up Master Yu, Y-U.
Okay.
Master Yu Tian Jian, T-I-A-N-J-I-A-N. Master Yu Tian Jian.
Okay.
Thank you for that. We're actually running out of time, so I want to just say thank you for being on the show and just ask you a real quick question, and that is, what is the last piece of information you'd like to share with anybody, maybe one of the biggest lessons in life you've learned so far?
Well, one is persistence, and another is about skillful means. For myself, I felt like I was moving along my path very slowly, and a lot of things that I tried didn't seem to get me the results that I had hoped for or that were advertised. And when I finally found this teacher and this path and used these meditations, I was amazed at how quickly things started to shift and how quickly I progressed compared to the progress that I had felt I had before. So hang in there, be persistent, and be flexible and explore until you find the tools that really will help you get the results you would like and be able, so that you can help people and make a difference in the world the way you would like to.
Well, thank you for being on the show, and thank you, Mike, as always, for co-hosting. It's always great to have you on.
Yep, thank you. And thank you, Douglas.
All right.
Great today.
Best wishes to everybody on their path.
Sounds good. Thank you, and you've been listening to the Men's Spiritual Hour on Spiritual Connections Radio. You can find out more about us on our website, including the links for our guests from this evening, or on the site by going to www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Good night, everybody. Good night, Douglas. Good night, Mike.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Namaste.